Welcome back to the Spirit of Haggard. We are here for another exciting episode. And today, rather than talking strictly veterinarian medicine, we have the most esteemed veterinary technician in all the land for today's episode. So, Miss Lynn Hulett, your reputation precedes you. You have trained so many technicians. You continue to inspire and motivate and educate young people who have an interest in equine veterinary medicine. And so I am thrilled and excited that we get to sit down with you today, pick your brain, and hear a little bit about your story, your advice, and what your thoughts are as it relates to over 30 years as an equine technician and your tenure here at Haggard Equine Medical.
Well, thank you, Miss Jody. I'm honored to be here.
Yes. So tell us, give us a little bit of background, Lynn, on how you went from Maryland to Kentucky.
So oddly enough, pre-internet days, I was looking at colleges in the back of a magazine, because that's kind of what you did. There was an ad of someone jumping a horse. And believe it or not, that's how I picked my school. I said, oh, that looks good. I didn't go to several to look at them. I just picked it through that after high school. I did not have much riding experience at all. In fact, very, very little horse experience. So I picked a college called Southern Seminary, which is in Buena Vista, Virginia, in the beautiful Blue Ridge Mountains. It's near VMI and Washington and Lee. Turns out, of course, I didn't know, they had one of the top schools for riding, you know, for hunter jumpers in the whole country. So BZ Madden went there, come to find out, like very, very small school, 300 all girls school. And yeah, I was in like all the beginner classes of riding, and then I showed a little, and from there I sort of went in fast forward.
Okay. And fast forward for you, walk us through how you then became a technician.
So in college, I got an associate's in animal science. And in our last year, that's just a 2-year degree, they asked if any of us wanted to go to Lexington, Kentucky to groom sale yearlings for the summer. And I said, sure, that sounds fun. Never been to Kentucky, came out with two roommates, and we groomed sale yearlings for Spendthrift Farm, which is where I started. And that was Spendthrift Farm. That was 1982.
Okay.
And from there, that's kind of, I started meeting people, and I put together a little list, because then I look back now, I'm astounded at the people that I got to work with that I didn't even know.
Right.
Were amazing. Starting with Spendthrift and John Williams and Don Snellings. I mean, these guys are legendary. You know, they're just amazing. From there, they saw I was small, and then they said, well, do you want to ride? And of course, you're 21. And yeah. So you say, yeah, sure, I'll do that. Little did I know I was breaking yearlings. So I immediately started breaking yearlings, which is a whole nother ballgame.
That's not hunter jumper.
It's not the beginner class. But I was like kind of fearless. I hate to say it, but in your early 20s, you're sort of fearless. And so you just do it. And so from there, I started breaking yearlings, and I rode for quite a few different farms while traveling back and forth to Florida a little bit, to Tampa Bay Downs. So I broke yearlings for not only Spendthrift, but High Hope Farm, Saxony, Judmont, and Claiborne. So I got to meet all these people that I didn't realize were, you know, true heroes, like you say, in the business. And all the while I was doing that, I also got to pet and hang out with, you know, affirmed Seattle Slew. We went up and would feed him Fritos on our lunch because he loved Fritos. Fun fact. And of course, Secretariat was at Claiborne. So we would ride in the morning. We'd go down and get to see Secretariat. And, you know, if I could go back in time and have more pictures and, you know, just yes. realize the greatness that I was in at that point, that would be pretty amazing. So at the same time I was breaking yearlings, I saw an ad in the paper and it said, Foal Patrol, come work with baby horses or something. And I thought, well, that sounds like fun. And so, yeah, I went over to Woodford and did that for a season. That was in 1985. So while I was riding, I would do that. And then Root and Riddle opened up in 1986 and in January. And they asked me to go to at Root and Riddle. And again, I became in charge before I knew I was supposed to do all of that. And I was there 10 years and, you know, was in the vet tech role and the supervisory role. It was before computers. I know I'm really dating myself here, but, you know, we didn't do bills on computer. We would take bills home and sit in front of the TV set and do them by hand. You would yes. write them out by hand. And I just remember when Dr. Bill Bernard got the first computer over there, and I just thought, oh, this is so silly. What are we doing? Why are we taking all this time to enter information into a computer? It doesn't make any sense to me. But that was then. And we did move to Indiana for a couple of years. And then I said, I want to go back. And so I called over to Haggard and I said, do you have anything available? I just want a vet tech. I just want to work in ICU. I don't want to be in charge of anybody.
Right.
And she said, oh, absolutely. Just please come out, you know. And so that kind of evolved into what I do today.
And what year was that that you came here to Haggard?
1997.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And after a couple of years here, they decided to sort of reformat the technician piece of the medicine department and have a technician coordinator. And so they asked, you know, would I apply right. to do the technician coordinator? And I said, sure. And here we are. And I have been here since 1997.
About how many foals do you think that you have handled?
So yes. if you want to calculate,
if you want to do the math, right? So about 500 foals per season that right. you are handling through now ICU
and isolation.
And isolation. Mm-hmm. That's a really impressive number. And I feel like, and the reason I wanted to really impact, you know, the year that you came here and the tenure that you have, Lynn, rewritten the rules. The evolution of the equine technician has been tremendous in that time frame.
Oh, absolutely.
Their role, the responsibilities, the recognition, all of these pieces. So let's dig into that. You were a part of forming the AAEVT, the American Association of Equine Veterinary Technicians. And that was a gap that many in our industry didn't even know we had. And that organization has now been in existence since when, 2004 or so?
No, 2002. Actually.
2002 mm-hmm. was when that effort started.
Correct.
So let's really talk about the evolution of the technician and what that role has come from to what it is today.
Yeah, I am a charter member of that. And I just remember, you know, before that, of course, I learned pretty much everything hands-on. So with the technicians, yeah, it was kind of never really a group. It wasn't a formal, I'm sure maybe some places it was, but I had never heard of it. You know, so it formed and it really got everybody going down the same road. So
right.
on the same path to, we want to have a voice. We want to be advocates for not only technicians, but all of the staff.
Yes.
That have anything to do with the clinics or horses or farms. We want a voice. And I just thought it was amazing. So from there, you know, they started the meetings and got under the wing of the AEP. And the lectures and the talks and the guest speakers, and then, you know, the people like Zoetis, the sponsors would jump on board. She just worked tirelessly to get it out there that we were an actual group that need to be recognized. And there are other groups, and I can talk about those too, that,
yeah,
that are definitely, you know, all about the technician. But at this point, it's going in a really positive direction.
Yes. Let's pause for just a minute to hear from our friends at ByMeta, our Spirit of Haggard podcast sponsor.
ByMeta might just be the largest animal health company you have never heard of until now. ByMeta Animal Health's equine products have been trusted by veterinarians and horse owners since the 1960s, where our Irish roots began. ByMeta is one of the largest producers of dewormers for horses, like Equimax, Bimectin, Duramectin, and Exodus. World-renowned equine athletes rely on polyglycan, a patented formula designed to replace lost or damaged synovial fluid, and Confidence Eq 1% pheromone gel that reduces and prevents equine stress, to name a few of our branded products. We encourage you to consult with your equine veterinarian before using any equine products for your horse. Also, please visit buymetaus.com to learn more about our full product offerings and where you can buy them.
So many of our listeners, Lynn, are students and young professionals who are at the beginning of this career journey, and they really want to know what their options are. Many of them don't know what they don't know, and many of them have an interest in horses, but what do I want to do? And we can talk about technicians. You mentioned support staff, practice managers, all of these supporting and allied roles. So let's do talk about where it is today and some of these organizations that it would benefit and behoove them to look up, be involved in on LinkedIn and on their websites. And so, you know, mention some of those for us.
If they get online and look at, even for Kentucky, I'm just looking at Kentucky in general, but vettechcolleges.com. I was just looking up what Kentucky had to offer. And there's actually quite a bit. So if you look, even just in Kentucky, there are 3 accredited programs. And so as a vet tech, you know, the direction that we're heading is you want to get licensed,
right?
You want to be recognized at this day and age. I am not licensed. And in Kentucky, right at this moment, it's not a huge deal, although it does limit me to what I can do as a vet tech, unless you do have, you know, the certification and the license. So 3 accredited programs in Kentucky, Moorhead, Murray State, and Owensboro. And there are, and this is another thing everyone can start to think about, there are 10 online CVTEA accredited programs. And the CVTEA is the Committee on Veterinary Technician Education and Activities. And so you want to make sure wherever you pick is accredited. But that is one, you know, there's lots of these abbreviations, which is where I think people start to get confused and overwhelmed.
Yes. What we call alphabet soup oftentimes. And if you don't know what some of these acronyms mean, just ask.
Because everyone wants to help you. There is the NAVTA, which the NAFTA, most people do know, is the National Association of Vet Techs in America. There's the KVTA, which is the Kentucky Veterinary Technician Association. Of course, there's the AVMA, which is the American Veterinary Medical Association. So again, you have all of these abbreviations, like you said, alphabet soup, but I think, you know, in general, they are all people, from my perspective, that have goals and visions to get you where you want to be.
Yes. And, you know, also, I will remind our listeners that this is pretty new. Accreditation for our veterinary technicians, the conversations that are ongoing, that we continue to provide continuing education and certification and licensing, the programs continue to grow in number and quality. because the demand is there for these skills and abilities, and we have the interest. So we want to help support our students and young people to pursue this kind of education if they have an interest.
Absolutely. And, you know, if you listen to some, there was a great speaker at AVT. She spoke on the direction that this is going and how she utilized her licensed vet tech. And I'm hoping this is now in the conversation about using them more to do things, especially when they're on site. So you're taking ambulatory, take an ambulatory veterinarian that goes to the farm. So he or she has their licensed vet tech with them. And, you know, at that time, does it make sense to say, okay, the vet tech is going to go, you know, give the vaccines. They're going to perhaps, you know, and I'm going to go examine this foal. While I'm running this plasma, they're going to go and snap an x-ray of this foot. And they're working as a team and getting twice as much done in half the time. Yes. And that's how she explained it. And it was just absolutely mind-blowing to me, like, to think, wow, yeah, because of the shortage. Everybody knows by now.
Right.
We have a shortage of equine veterinarians, maybe vet techs too. But I think working as a team and getting all of this written down as far as what is allowed, what's permitted, what's legal, I think it's absolutely going to be, like,
yeah,
amazing.
A game changer,
game
really.
Game changer, yes.
Yeah. For efficiencies, for standard of care, client communications and satisfaction, and all of these pieces. I've continued over the past few years, Lynn, to hear it compared to human medicine and how we have evolved the nurse practitioner,
correct.
Those. So you are inside a lot of these conversations. Break that down for us, kind of where we're going and why we might compare it to what the human medical field has done.
Well, because the skill set can be so, I mean, some of these technicians have set the bar very, very high in their skill sets, you know, and what we can do. We're training, when you come to medicine and as an extern or even the interns and fellows, like, we are training.
Yes.
Them. And the doctors are as well, but my technicians can pop in a catheter in, like, record-breaking time. Like,
right.
We can show you exactly how to do it, how to do it correctly, how to do it sterilely. We can pass an NG tube on a foal. We can place a urinary catheter very quickly. Like, we can do all these things just like the nurse practitioner, you know, has a certain skill set. And that is what is going to save time for the veterinarian to go write their soaps and call the client. And, you know, because if you watch them, they are on the phone all the time. They have to be.
Right.
Client communication is, like, number one. I've seen it over and over. What happens when you don't? And so that takes so much of their day. So if we can lighten their day, if we can do these skills and do them well and be signed off on them, again, game changer.
Game changer.
Yeah.
So let's talk then about, you know, the education that goes into the process. Haggard specifically, you have been a part of recruiting and training and establishing a well-oiled machine, if you will. So talk us through the programs here that you are such a part of and involved in. When do they come? Where are they coming from? What are the expectations? Because I watch you and you are a teacher. You're a teacher at heart and you're so passionate and skilled at what you do. Give us a glimpse of how it works here.
I do like to teach.
Yes.
That is one of my favorite things. During the off, we say the off season, it's not foaling season. A huge part of my position is interviewing and recruiting for the next foaling season. So
that's occurring essentially July through December.
That is July through December. Yeah. Right. Well, we kind of, it pretty much dries up around right after Halloween, right after October. Not many people can get it together enough in November, December to come and spend 6 months. So we have a 6 month internship. It's we say undergrad internship, but we have had graduates as well.
Okay.
You know, recently graduated that are either getting ready for vet school or they have a gap year where they're applying to vet school and they want hands-on. So that is January to June.
Okay.
And, I will take on an additional 25 to 30 individuals from that time frame. And we will go to, we have a wonderful, director of student programs, Danny Klim. She has jumped right in and taken, you know, the bull by the horn, and she fits this role so well. She's so pleasant and she's so good at what she does. She's planning on going to, I believe, about 10 colleges or universities to kind of spread the word. We show a PowerPoint and show them what it's all about. It is all hands-on. It's not like you come and you're observing, you know, it is a paid internship. Mm-hmm. We do not provide housing, but we help them find housing. And we have a lot of connections with apartments and places that allow for a 6 month lease.
Okay.
So, you know, we get students from, well, Colorado, CSU was our very first connection, and I believe that was 2008. And so we've been doing this quite a while.
Yes.
It was the brainchild of Dr. Clark, Dr. Andy Clark, who is one of my heroes. As you say, you have mentors and people in your life. He came up with this idea, and we went out to Colorado and met up with the leaders out there and kind of put this all together. It just makes sense.
Yes.
You know, the whole thing just makes sense to have these students come and get familiar with the industry, come to Kentucky, get hands-on, get all that experience holding foals and with repro. And, you know, we have a lot of ambulatory interns that come as well. So we may hire another 20 or plus that for ambulatory.
Right.
So it's a very big program that we have for 6 months. And hopefully we would see them again. It's not just Colorado now. Of course, it's all over. Texas A&M and Morrisville and Virginia and Cal Poly. And it's just everywhere. We would hope that they would come back as an extern if they do get into vet school, and then hopefully maybe even as an intern or a fellow, and then maybe as an associate. And so it's kind of come full circle. And it actually has happened. And I just think it's such a wonderful idea to have that. And to be honest, like, we can't do what we do without these students.
Right.
We absolutely. We're talking 11 technicians, assistants on every shift.
Right.
That's 24/7. And that's what I need. Like, bare minimum is 10 to 11 on every shift, 7 days a week. So now we actually have another internship program, and this is a lot more local kids. So your UKs, your Transy, Georgetown College, Midway, Moorhead. Not to say they're all from local, but I want to give those guys a chance too. And so it runs from the middle of May till the middle of August. Fits in perfectly with their summer.
Okay.
So for the whole program, they will rotate between day shift, evening shift, and night shift. So they get kind of a full
experience.
Yeah. Because night shift is very different.
I'm sure.
Than day shift. Yeah.
Yes.
A lot of C-sections, a lot of dystocias, a lot of action. And they love it.
Yes.
They love it. These are all type A, just me and you. They just run. And, you know, adrenaline junkies. And it's just we have a good time and we work hard, and we just want to provide the best patient care that we can. That's the goal for every person that walks through the door, is we teach them from the very beginning, you will provide the best patient care.
Yeah.
And they do.
The horse is at the heart of everything you do and everything we do. And it's still the business of people.
Yes.
And so it's that balance, right? And you are magnificent at that. I have said, I know in previous episodes, as we talk about medicine, as we talk about neonatal ICU, and it is my favorite place on campus here between January and June. But I always say, I just come to the door and wave at you. I may pass you you all some food or something like that, but I wouldn't dare come in. But it's one of just the most thrilling experiences to watch that level of teamwork and camaraderie and of efficiency. And there's a lot going on. So not only are you caring for 500 foals a season, but you are training 25 to 30 young people to do best standard of patient care and learn all these new skills and work as a team and function in that kind of environment. And it's really quite impressive. So I want our audience to kind of feel that. And if they have any interest at all, reach out,
get on our website
and haggard.com
and student programs.
Yes.
It tells you everything you need to know. And if it doesn't, you can call, but the neonate, the NICU here sees more foals than anybody in the world. And I can say that with certainty.
Yeah.
When you're talking 500 in a season, it's just, no 2 days are ever the same.
Yes.
And, you know, we do most everything that you could do on a human DNA. We have the Tempur-Pedic mattress they're on. They get turned every 2 hours. You're milking the mare, feeding them through the NG tube. They're on oxygen. There's a urinary catheter. They might be on 4 or 5 different, you know, fluids and pumps and ventilators.
Right.
You name it.
Yes.
I mean, that's one of my favorite success stories is we did have a foal. And because people think, oh, you know, if you got to put it on a ventilator, it's not going to make it. You might as well just throw your hands up. Well, we don't like to do that. We don't like to throw our hands up. So this baby was on a ventilator in the NICU for more than 10 days, even though we actually lost power one of those days in a spring storm and had to bust out the generator, which was horrifying. But came off the ventilator, went home, and was racing in England. I mean, think about it.
Those are the stories that give you chills, right?
Yes.
It's the why. Why do we do what we do?
Yes. It's for that.
Those are the moments.
Yeah.
And to be a part of those stories, I know that you stay in touch. Let's touch on that. You stay in touch with so many of your technicians, your interns. So how do you do that? And, you know, like, what is that to you? How important is that to you?
Well, to be honest, like when, you know, Facebook and all that was created, I'm no spring chicken. I didn't want to be on Facebook because I never want to say the wrong thing or take a side that's, you know, heaven forbid somebody thinks is wrong. So I thought, yeah, you know, I'm not going to do it. But then I couldn't remember like where my students had gone and what they were doing now. And, you know, sometimes their names changed and they got married and life happens. And I thought, okay, I'm doing it. And I'm so glad, you know, because that Facebook does keep me connected to all of them. And I do keep in touch with as many as I can.
Yes.
You know, over the years. And it helps that I have children that are somewhat in their age group.
Right.
It keeps me current, Jody.
Yes. Three amazing kids, but they, yes, you have three millennials, I believe.
Well, one Gen Z.
Okay. Two millennials and a Gen Z.
Yes.
So that keeps you current.
It keeps me current. Yeah. And one of them actually told me she was a zillennial. I didn't even know that was a word.
Oh, yeah.
So she's
okay.
On the cusp.
She's in the gap, right?
Yeah. A millennial, a zillennial, and a Gen Z.
Let's take a quick break to recognize our Spirit of Haggard podcast sponsor, Bimeda.
Bimeda might be the biggest animal health company you've never heard of until now. Bimeda's products have been trusted by veterinarians and owners since the 1960s when our Irish roots began. Bimeda is one of the largest producers of dewormers like Equimax, Bimectin, and Exodus. World-renowned equine athletes also rely on Polyglycan, a patented formula that replaces lost or damaged synovial fluid in Confidence X pheromone gel, which reduces and prevents equine stress. Consult your vet and visit buymeetaus.com to see where to buy.
There are many points to pull out of what you just said. And I operate really on three pillars. You have heard me repeatedly talk about clarity, confidence, and community. And you and I have that same heart for young people who want to pursue careers in this industry. Is we are here to help you gain clarity in the direction. I believe that as a student, especially even as a young professional, that we might think about 3, 4, 5 different jobs that we could do. There are 500.
Dream bigger
than you're thinking. Absolutely. Because we just simply don't know what we don't know. And then to your point, the confidence that comes from being courageous, that we will only, you know, uncover some of those paths and take the next huge leap in our journey when we are willing to be courageous enough to grow our confidence. None of us are confident. Were you confident the first time you put a catheter
in? Oh my gosh, no.
No. And so it takes experience to become confident. And then end all be all for me, the foundation of everything is growing a community. And that's exactly like, that's why I wanted to talk about what you are to your students. And yes, you are. You're an acquaintance when they come. At the very least, when they leave, you're a mentor. And oftentimes you are a champion and a hero for so many. And that is why, you know, we want to share that story and example of do the hard things.
Yes. And be a doer. I love that. And it's such a simple sentence, but it does make sense. And, you know, you learn, don't think just as you get older that you know everything or you've done everything or you're really good at everything, because it's always a constant, you know, learning process. Can you do that?
Right.
Yeah, you go do that. Oh, I can do that.
Yes.
Instead of just whining about it and wishing it would be done.
And expecting someone else to do it.
Just go do it.
Go do it. I love that. There's our, that's the title for this episode, be a doer, right?
And it can lead to, the experience at Haggard can lead to ridiculously cool opportunities. The networking that you can do here. I have had individuals go on to be sales coordinators, top in the country feed, you know, hallway feed salesmen.
Yes.
Top farm managers. What else? There, you know, there's equine law. Of course, pharmaceuticals. We have a lot of individuals
yes.
choose the pharmaceutical direction, which is really a cool area. Nutrition.
We can talk about the highs, the lows, the tears,
yes.
the sweat, the blood, the just do, and the failures and all the things. And I do believe that that's what, there's nothing magic about it,
yeah.
about anything that we're doing other than we care. And we want them to experience the, you know, gratification that I believe comes from this career. There's plenty for us to complain about.
Yeah.
There's plenty of things that we can talk about and be frustrated about,
right.
but there's also, you know, these kinds of friendships that come from it and the experiences that we have along this journey, they are to be shared and celebrated.
Exactly. And how many people get to go to work and do what they love every day?
Yes.
I mean, I do. I get in the car and I come here and I'm excited to be here because I don't know what the day is going to bring.
Right.
Going to bring some challenges for sure. But, you know, you think, oh, I've seen it all. And sure enough, something walks in the door and you haven't seen it all.
You haven't seen it all. And you talked about one of my favorite things to say, and I feel like I've only learned this in the last year. You talked about the things you don't know and, you know, being a lifelong learner, essentially. But I have taken a new phrase where I say, I don't know how to do that yet.
Ah.
I don't know how to do that yet. And so I think that opens so many opportunities rather than me getting anxious about what I don't know how to do, especially as it relates to technology. That's where I'm not a millennial. And I'm like, I don't know how to operate this, but I don't know how to do it yet. And so I think that's an important lesson as well. And you kind of mentioned, you know, that along those lines.
Most definitely.
So you've talked a lot about some of your different favorite stories. What is your favorite part about being here at Haggard?
Well, it's just like a second family to me. The number one thing is, no matter who you ask at Haggard's, it is all about the horse.
Yeah.
It's always been. You know, my first boss in medicine was Dr. Doug Byers.
Okay.
And gosh.
Another legend.
Oh, the things, the quotes that he would say and the things, you know, he was always very, very supportive of his veterinary technicians and assistants and just so complimentary and calm and had all these quotes that were just hilarious. He would say it all starts and stops in the stall.
Okay.
That was what he would say. And it's true. It all starts and stops in the stall. And there's your patient. You are the eyes and the ears for that patient for however long your shift is. And then you go home and you think about them.
Yeah.
And you think, I wonder if they're okay. And I hope I get that patient tomorrow because I want to make sure they're okay.
Right.
We care as much as the owner. I'm telling you, we do. And that, to me, is so important. And, you know, the sense of family. And it's a fun group.
Yeah.
We're a fun group. I like to have fun. You know that.
Yes. So, we are kindred
spirits.
I want
to laugh. I want to come and laugh. I don't want to be just like.
Life is way too short.
It's way too short. You know, in the different areas of Haggard, there's something for everybody. You know, if it's not medicine, it's surgery. If it's not surgery, it could be therio. It could be sport horse, ambulatory. You know, now we're branching out. We have MRI. We have all these different things, a hyperbaric chamber. So, you know, that these are areas that you can explore and you don't have to just stay in the same position while you're here. If you want to move around, you know, that's all well and good. If you want to learn something new, when we got the hyperbaric chamber, I thought, okay.
Yeah, that's another, let's go there. That's another area of your expertise. That's pretty limited. So you are unique.
Yeah, I am. We've had that quite a while now, but hyperbarics is a whole nother topic. But I am boarded in human and veterinary hyperbarics, so I'm double boarded, and Dr. Slovis is as well. It is pretty amazing what it can do, and. But you know, again, I had to go back and learn physics again. When you say to yourself, I'll never,
mm-hmm.
Why do I need Charles' law or Boyle's law? I don't need that. Well, then you have to go back. You do. So, you know, we have, technicians that do the laser. So, you know, in the technician role, you are encouraged to branch out a little bit and learn some new things. Go
right.
Get your license. Maybe you want to do anesthesia, you know, and now the AAVT has this whole anesthesia group and
yes.
meetings just for that, which is fabulous. You know, that's another avenue. It's not like when you become a technician, like you're just sort of flatlined at
right.
that stage.
And that is an important point because I think that's a little bit of the perception.
Yes.
That I don't think I want to do that. I won't ever make enough money. I won't ever be able to do anything different. And to your point, we have continued to watch lifelong technicians.
Mm-hmm.
We have watched the evolution to practice manager. Some of your folks have come into laboratory, pharmacy, billing,
yes.
marketing. There are so many different roles, and as well, just where that skill set is applicable across the industry. It's
yes.
education, and no one can ever take that away from you. And the more you know, the more versatile you are and the more opportunities you will have.
Absolutely. You know, and a lot of these farms have their own technicians
yes.
on site, and they do a lot. Not only do they do, you know, the work for patient care, but they do a lot of lab work. They do a lot of billing and ordering and all kinds of things.
Right.
So, I mean, the opportunities are endless. They really are.
Yeah. So, Lynn, as we wrap up, what else would you share with our listeners? You know, I'd love your vision of the future, if you will, a little bit as it relates to equine veterinary medicine, the journey of the technician, attracting these young people who have an interest in horses. And so give us, you know, your advice, if you will.
I think again, it's helping that there are people like you that are getting the word out there of what is available, because then they can start to test the waters. I would recommend that instead of just saying, oh, my grandpa has a pony and I got to lead him, you know, that you seek out programs or working at the horse sales or working on a farm, or they like the KEME, you know, the Kentucky
Equine Management Internship.
Yes, this is a great program too to get some hands on. So, I mean, we get a lot of KEME students coming in,
right?
You know, for us, which is great because I don't have to teach them how to pick feet. And with the thoroughbred, you pick feet from only the left side. And there's a way that you hold the shank and there's a way that you act around, you know, these horses that we have, because having grandpa's backyard pony is lovely, but we work with 90 some percent thoroughbreds. And so I need you to get that sense of being aware as you're in a stall with a horse, you know, read the body language. And that comes with time and just, you know, practice and being around horses that, oh, his ears are flat on his head and perhaps I'm not in the best spot, you know, and that's hard for me to take the time to teach. I can teach you all of the stuff that we do.
Right.
But being comfortable around horses, you know, that's a start. And people are always looking for individuals to work the horse sales.
Yes.
You know, in this area anyway. And so, you know, if you can do that and then start down your road of whether you decide to go to one of the accredited schools and just go ahead and, you know, get it done quickly, or whether you want to start working and perhaps do it online. But either way, I think the horse world needs to catch up to the small animal, the way that small animal
is handling.
Yeah. They handle things differently. They all have their titles all figured out and who can do what, and we're getting there.
Yes.
But you want to be, as you know, a youngster going into this, you want to be at the top of the heap, right? You want to be able to do everything. So why not go ahead and, you know, get the schooling and get the letters behind your name and and then start down that road. And then you can decide which avenue you want to go.
There's it doesn't have to be written out, right? It's really, you know, so those skills, I think you're just spot on. And we've heard that time and again, even from our young veterinarians who are giving advice. When we want, as students, maybe a really complicated answer almost, we want to know what to do. And the answer is go work.
Yes.
Go work. And you don't necessarily need to work for a veterinarian. No. The best handling skills are going to come from the farm and from just exactly what you're talking about. We all have come up through different experiences, whether we took lessons, whether we rode Western, whether we rode English, whether we didn't ride at all, never handled a horse. You're able and capable. And so to become confident and capable, we want you to go put a little sweat equity into that.
Exactly. Start with the horse handling and, you know, cleaning stalls. When I went to Spendthrift, I had never touched a thoroughbred yearling before. I was very taken aback at turnout time. I was like, wowza, these guys are really big.
Yes.
And very strong.
Yes.
And so, you know, but boy, that sure did help my staying safe.
Right.
With these patients.
Staying safe and keeping others safe.
Correct. Yeah. And you don't have to, you know, you don't have to pick one job now and say, this is my life.
Yes.
You know, my daughter tells me all that. Oh, she says that is totally old. You know, the old way of thinking is that you have to have one chosen path or career the whole time. Like start, jump in, and then take it from there and see where it leads you. Make those connections, network, talk to people. You have to talk to people.
Right.
You can't just talk online. You have to have conversation. And from there, you're going to make it happen.
Yeah. Be a doer.
Be a doer.
There it is. We've said it. Go be a doer. So much wisdom and direction from you. I couldn't be more excited. You know, friends, as you continue to listen to these episodes, we hope that you're really taking notes on the advice and the experience that we are hearing from. And so today, I do think that it's just very special to hear from such an influencer as it relates to jobs that are supporting equine veterinary medicine and the evolution of our technicians and support staff, the skills and the passion that go into that. Lynn, you're a shining example of excellence always. And so we hope to have you back again. And for our listeners, please don't hesitate to reach out and come visit www.haggard.com and, seek out the opportunities for internships and externships. With that, we will sign off for today on this edition of The Spirit of Haggard. Thank you for listening. I am your host, Jody Lynch Findlay. You can find me at www.jodyspeakslife.com. And with that, we will say cheers to The Spirit of Haggard. Thanks for tuning in to The Spirit of Haggard podcast today, sponsored by Bimeda. I'm your host, Jody Lynch Findlay, speaker and podcaster. You can connect with me at jodyspeakslife.com.